No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew to navigate the latest aviation news and information for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, Keith, I'm ready.
I'm ready. Let's roll.
I'm ready to fly. So what do I got to do first?
Well, the first step that you have to do is you got to get a medical.
I do.
Yes.
And that is just to prove to the world that I'm, you know, mentally stable enough to fly again? Is that what you're saying or what?
Well, that would be part of it.
That would be part of it.
Yes,
but that's not the part we're going to address today.
No, we're going to address the part of your heart today.
Yes, I had open heart surgery.
Where's your heart at?
Right here. See where that little crease is in my rib cage.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I put my shirt back on now?
Yes, please do.
I feel uncomfortable. It is slightly awkward.
You think you do?
So, yeah, I'm ready. I've gotten the clearance from my cardiologist. He said, you're good to go. Here's some paperwork. Take this to your aviation doc and, you know, tell Ed and Keith, see in the sky. And but I think there's more to it than that. So we pulled out the big guns to help us. We have Gary Crump, the director of medical certifications, on Just Plane Radio now from AOPA. Gary, welcome once again to the big show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Yes, no worries. So I know I need to work with you guys because this is a special exemption or something I have to get back in the cockpit officially to satisfy the FAA or what?
Yeah, it's called a special issuance authorization. Okay. It's a part of the Part 67 medical standards that allows basically the federal air surgeon to determine on a very discretionary basis a pilot's eligibility to hold a medical certificate when they have actually one of 15 mandatory conditions that are regulatory disqualifications per Part 67. And one of those includes coronary artery disease that has been treated or, if untreated, has been clinically significant. Well, in your case, with coronary artery bypass grafting or revascularization, as it's called, that is a treatment for coronary artery disease. So that does require that you go through the additional steps of satisfying the FAA that you are, in fact, qualified for medical certification under this special exemption process.
Okay. All right. So they're not going to ask me what we replace my heart with, like a baboon monkey heart or anything like that. They just want to know that I am A-OK, according to a cardiologist. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's why they're going to ask to see all your medical records. And then the standard testing that the FAA requires is a Bruce protocol treadmill stress test. And we can talk about the particulars on that. In fact, maybe I'll just mention it right now, because if you're going to cardiac rehab and you're seeing your cardiologist for follow-ups, when was your surgery, by the way?
About 2 years ago, just under, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while.
So you haven't held a medical since then?
Well, I had a medical done right before this all happened. So,
okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's important details to know.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to basic med, and if we get into basic med, we can talk about that, but under the new basic med regulations, the mandatory six-month recovery and stabilization period that used to exist for third-class medicals still exists for pilots that are applying for first and second class medicals, but with the legislation and the regulatory language in basic med, that mandatory wait period no longer exists for pilots who are applying for third class certification. So obviously you're well beyond that, so there's no problem there as far as your time frame is concerned.
Yeah, I got my medical done right before the deadline when they changed for the basic med. So I got in under that time thing, and I was good to go.
Right.
And then this little heart issue popped up. Yeah,
right. And that's a good point to touch on, because even though you held a valid medical certificate, once you had that history of, in this case, one of the 15 disqualifying conditions, that medical certificate became invalid because you no longer qualify for the certificate because of that cardiovascular history that required the special issuance. So right. if this had just happened and basic med didn't exist then, you would have the six-month wait period, the observation and recovery period, the FAA calls it, before you could start the reapplication process for getting the special issuance authorization.
Got it.
So you're done with all that. So mm-hmm. now you're ready to do a maximum Bruce Protocol exercise treadmill test.
And well, I've done it. I got that. I actually already did that part. I have a cardiologist diving friend that put me through the paces and had me the Bruce Protocol, and I did very, very well. Matter of fact, I performed higher. Let's see. He hadn't had anybody perform as good as I did in like 6 months.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Now, of course, all his other patients are like 85 and 90. No, I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it as a win.
Right. For the information of those who may be going through this, the FAA is very specific about what they want to see performance-wise on that treadmill test. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, most cardiologists, when they're doing post-op testing for patients that have had heart attacks or stents or bypass, they're not going to exercise them for the duration that the FAA requires for pilots to stay on the treadmill in order to qualify. So most cardiologists will take their patients to about 80% of their maximum predicted heart rate. Mm-hmm. That's like basically cruise flight in your airplane, you know, 16, 17, 1800 RPM, 2000, whatever it happens to be.
Right.
The FAA wants to see maximum performance on the treadmill test. So the Bruce Protocol is a standardized protocol. It's been around for decades, and it is a 9-minute treadmill test comprised of three stages. Each stage is 3 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And each stage, the treadmill elevation increases slightly, as does the speed, and therefore your heart gets taxed a little bit more. And the FAA wants to see as close to a 9-minute treadmill as you can get. Now, if you're over 70, the FAA requires that you only exercise for at least 6 minutes. But for everybody, they've got to do at least, and I'm going to emphasize the minimums here, the FAA would prefer to see 100% of your maximum predicted heart rate achieved. 220 minus your age is the formula for calculating your maximum predicted heart rate. And then the FAA will accept 85%, but no less than 85%. So the magic numbers are 9 minutes completion of the treadmill and minimum of 85% of your maximum predicted heart rate. Mm-hmm. So those are the performance parameters. Now, obviously, you have to have a normal treadmill. They don't want to see any EKG abnormalities that suggest that there may be additional blockage somewhere that perhaps wasn't bypassed or stented, and they don't want to see any significant cardiac arrhythmias, abnormal rhythms that are developing, or any other evidence of what we call left ventricular dysfunction or heart muscle abnormalities that are compromising the amount of blood supply that gets pumped out of the heart with each contraction. So that's kind of the in the weeds stuff, but it's really important. People don't always realize that the FAA specifies what they want to see on the treadmill test. Even the FAA specification sheet that comes out makes a point in one of the paragraphs that says, hey, your cardiologist may do things differently than what we do, but here's what you have to do for us in order to qualify for the special issuance. So it's important because you don't want to have to go out and redo the treadmill test after you send it in when the FAA comes back and says you didn't stay on the treadmill long enough or you didn't get to high enough heart rate.
Right. Well, my cardiologist, Dr. Doug, he's a diver, and he actually agreed to do my Bruce Protocol treadmill test live on the radio on our other show called Scuba Radio. So not only I do 12 minutes and got to that 85%, I know I did because I about was dead at the end of it, and I say that subjectively. I also did a radio show at the same time. He said I passed. He's done many pilots in his past, so he said you were good to go, and he gave me the paperwork, the whole thing. And I got the extra proof that I did this because, you know, we actually did this on the radio, on our Scuba Radio show. So I got plenty of proof and paperwork to back up these ridiculous claims. And and he says, at least, you know, I've done this. So now I got to give it to you, and you'll help me out with AOPA's assistance program when it comes to getting this special issuance, or what?
We call it our Pilot Protection Services. It's an additional paid feature of your AOPA membership that allows us to review medical records before the pilot sends them into the FAA. When you submit an application or medical medical records to the FAA, there's no way to withdraw it. You can't step out in the stream and then step back out without getting your feet wet. So once that information goes into the FAA, it is part of your official FAA agency records. So you want to make sure the information is complete. That is, you're sending them everything that they require, and you want to make sure that that information looks favorable for the issuance of your medical certificate. You want to do everything right the first time to avoid those long delays that will no doubt be a part of the frustration.
I don't want any more delays. That's why I'm talking to you, and all you have to do is go to AOPA.org and sign up for this service or call them.
Give us a call. If you're not an AOPA member, probably worth $69 to join and take advantage of the specialized service that we offer to pilots with medical certification issues.
If you're a pilot and you're not a member of AOPA, what the hell's the matter with you?
You're not a complete pilot.
There you go. More coming up on Just Plain Radio. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Greg.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, you, I'm getting in the plane. In the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform.
I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high, shawty. I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high, shawty. I be flying high, it take long to get this fly. If you ain't up on my level, disappear, please don't reply, bye.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith. And now Dennis has joined us as well on the big show today. Dennis, are you proud of me?
I am. You finally followed through with your medical. Step one.
Well, step one, yes. I've reached out to AOPA to start the medical exemption process. And, you know, it's kind of nice to have some friends that are kind of high up in AOPA to kind of guide me through this process. But don't feel that I'm special, even though I am. You can do this just by calling them up. And people like Gary, if not him personally, he'll talk to you just like he did us.
Yeah, now the best part for me is I don't have to worry about mean dude, you know, cracking on me to crack on you.
He will be proud of me today because he will have heard this as well. I mean, Keith is proud of me. He's looking at me like, you know what? It's been a while. Greg may have earned a banana. You think? And that was before I had a baboon monkey heart. Now, when I see a banana, it's kind of a big deal.
Well, yeah, but you know, I had to dial the number for you.
Well, okay. Yeah,
I still had to push you a little bit.
Well, that's just one of the side effects of a baboon monkey heart. Deposable thumbs or something? I don't know.
I was about ready to actually schedule the call myself and then have the AOPA call during this session.
No, that didn't.
Wasn't necessary. I need you to answer that phone. The call is for you.
Yeah. Well,
I just told him I wasn't going to show up today unless we did it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's whatever it takes, you know, to kind of push me, off the, out of the studio and back onto the tarmac.
Yep. Sometimes it's a gentle nudge. Other times it's a big old shove.
True. It was more like a trip, Ed was, down on all fours behind me, and then, Keith kind of pushed me over him kind of deal when I wasn't paying attention. But it worked. And so first step.
I would like to see that.
You would like to see that? No, I could get hurt. We don't want to do that. That would delay my progress even more.
Get down on all fours.
More interesting to see him get back up.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay. Anyway.
Especially after you went over the top of him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'd be laughing hysterically. Let's be real. I know him. At least that well. I know that he would enjoy my misfortune. But regardless, I am on my way, and I hope to be a shining example of people who go through this nonsense out of necessity but succeed. And it'll take me a while, but I'll get there. And, I'm looking forward to it. So
it shouldn't take you that long. You've already got the six-month waiting period taken care of.
Well, I have that, yeah.
And you don't even need to do it.
What do you mean?
The journey length, it always starts with the first step. So at least we're on that journey.
True.
We're heading down the path. We got the first step out of the way. Now we just got to keep knocking the things down as they come up.
Yeah, I'm just timing it out. So when Dennis gets his plane back from the shop, I'll finally be ready to fly again.
Oh, his airplane will be back before then.
Well,
they're supposed to power up the avionics for the first time in the morning. So, yeah,
Excellent.
It's looking like I'm down to a matter of maybe 48 hours, and I might finally get my plane back.
Well, here we go. It's coming down to the wire. This is going to be big news when it happens, for sure. So we will cover that accordingly.
But not to give you an excuse, you still have to go through the FAA surgical board.
Surgical board? Well, what are they going to do? Perform operation on me or something?
They're going to operate on your paperwork is what they're going to do.
Yeah. Don't you think they just trust me? They probably heard the show. Oh, wait, that's right. Okay, anyway, we'll deal with that issue when it happens. And
does the government trust anybody? Are you really trying to get me started here, Greg? Is that the idea?
Well, they trust, but then they have to verify.
Do they really? Yeah. I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
Yeah. Isn't that Ronald Reagan's philosophy, trust but verify?
Well, that was, but...
We're in a different time,
We're in a different
people.
Time zone now.
Yeah.
Now it's just how big is your wallet?
Pretty much.
That's part of it, sure. And whether you're on a first name basis with Vlad, maybe. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about more positive things in the aviation world. Now, last week, I actually thought we were going to talk about this. We didn't bring it up because I mentioned it to Keith off the air, and he said, it's not that big a deal. And
I was wrong.
So it is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
This is a big... See, because I saw this article about this Ranger airplane, and it was making a lot of noise in the aviation news circles about being under $100,000 for a brand new airplane. Now, it's light sport certified, but I was like, wow, under a grand? Under 100 grand? That's impressive, I thought.
For the base model.
For the base model. And but you looked at it, and you said, well, you can get a light sport for that. And I was kind of like, well, okay, well, maybe I missed something. I'm still kind of new to this stuff. But, of course, there are some more stories that came out this week. I mentioned it to Dennis off the air this week, and he said, oh, yeah, that's a kind of a neat thing. And then I saw AOPA Live. They had a big feature on it, and I'm like, wait a minute. There is something special about this, not just the price tag. I mean, you have the limitations of light sport aircraft on carry capacity, but what I saw on addition to the price... I saw an added benefit that evidently the seats go down. You can only take one other passenger, so it's a two-seater. You only have a carrying weight of, 450 pounds, right, thereabouts, with fuel. But the seats go down It's wider than a lot of similar aircraft of its size. So you have a lot of space inside the cabin of this aircraft. It can carry a lot more. It's just it's limited because of the FAA light sport designation. But the seats lay down, so you could actually, you and your buddy could fly out, land in some, you know, seabed, someplace out in the middle of nowhere, and lay the seats down and sleep in the thing. It's that big.
No, Greg. I am not sleeping with you in this airplane.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. If we flew together.
You've seen him try to put together a tent. I'd hate to imagine him trying to fold seats.
No, that's where we differ here because, yeah, I would be the person who sleep in the plane. Keith would be the person who would sleep in the tent under the wing because I can't really set up a tent. It's only fair.
Is that video still on the website?
No, I took that off a long time ago.
All right, we'll have to put that back up.
It was flagged for inappropriate content on YouTube. But I don't really want to share a plane with you, Keith. But I do, but I don't want to stay in. I mean, one person would get the short straw and have to sleep under the wing, and the other guy, or you could bring your spouse out there. You could go out and hang out in the middle of nowhere, and you got a flying bed.
So, you know, this would be a good airplane to use to go to, like, Sun and Fun or Oshkosh or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So now you're changing your tune slightly. Is that the feature that you think, wait, there's something to this, or there's something else I'm missing, too?
No, there's other things there that would catch my eye.
Okay, well, let's navigate through them next on Just Plane Radio. It's the new Ranger. From what's the name? Vachon or
Vachon?
Okay, that's coming up next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Keith and Dennis as well, rounding out the crew. All right, so we have this new Ranger airplane by Vachon, which I believe is the sword-wielding superhero on The Walking Dead. In her name, Vachon? I don't know. But that's the brand of this airplane. And the guy who is behind this company used to work for Vans Aircraft, those kit planes. And he started this company, Vachon, and now they got this Ranger aircraft that the price tag is phenomenal, under $100,000 for the base model. But what's different about it, Keith? What, other than that, and the fact that the seats go down, you can sleep in it, it's bigger cabin size and that kind of thing. What else are you seeing?
Well, on their website, they talk about it being rugged enough to use in a flight school.
Right.
That it can withstand the student
beating. The abuse of someone like me.
Of someone like you learning how to land.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a Continental engine in it, which means it doesn't have a Rotex engine, which, you know, for somebody like us, that's a big deal because we can't get auto fuel on our field. So being able to burn the 100 low lead is a big plus for us.
Okay.
However, that Continental O200D is a little expensive to overhaul.
Mm-hmm. So the trade-off is you can get the fuel, lease for your airport because you don't have the other one available in your instance. It's more rugged, so it can put up with the abuse. So it's a cheaper. Is it cheaper as far as this size aircraft, as far as a trainer too? What do you think? I mean, under $100,000, that seems cheap to me.
For a new airplane, it is. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume it'd have a warranty, wouldn't it?
I would guess.
Yeah.
It would have something.
So it'd be, you know,
With this thing, the standard model comes with an autopilot and everything.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like a Skycatcher, and they're not available anymore, but when they sold those new, weren't those like $300,000 or something?
No, they're about $149,000.
But
when they stopped selling them.
Okay.
When they decided to crush the rest of them.
Ah. Yeah. But this one, it looks kind of cool, too. It has a pretty cool paint scheme, unless that one's special for that one they're flying around.
No, that's the standard paint
scheme. I like it. Yeah. It looks cool.
Yeah.
And you can sleep in it. The seats go down.
You can sleep in it.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like heavy spikes with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
Let's spike with pain. This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith, and Ed is not here. We have Dennis filling in to round out the crew today. But Ed is threatening to join us next week for sure. I bet he'll sleep with me in the airplane in
but
that
will
Ranger.
You sleep with him?
No. Well, once again, he'll have to sleep out under the wing, and I'll sleep in the airplane because I'm going to use that excuse. I'm going to play that card that I don't have the skills to set up a tent, and therefore it's only natural that I should be the one to stay in the airplane. And then recline the seats back and just sleep in it nice and comfy. Is there AC in those Rangers? No, I'm guessing
there's
no.
Not,
right?
I'm going to guess not.
All right, so I need to get some ice packs or something or a little portable AC unit, put it in there, and I'll be good to go. I mean, the cabin of this thing is impressive. I heard Tom Haines talking about it on AOPA Live, saying that it had 5 more inches of width compared to his Bonanza.
Right.
And those are pretty nice, roomy airplanes, aren't they?
Yeah, not really.
No?
Yeah, if you have two adult males in there, you're going to be rubbing shoulders for sure.
You're going to be cheek to cheek, really?
Yeah. Most definitely.
Okay.
For you, yes.
Okay, so I got a little more junk in the trunk than the average pilot, is what you're trying to say.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm not sure how you're going to pass that test, but, you know, we'll see.
There's a test?
Your medical
test. Oh, I thought there you were talking about the too much junk in the trunk test. I thought, okay. Anyway.
I think that there might be something else we need to work on here.
What, some kind of mental?
Yeah, exactly. His memory.
Well, I assume the FAA does not listen to Just Plain Radio, so I think I'm good to go. Lisa, that's going to be my hope. We'll leave it at that. But this Ranger aircraft, so other than the fact that the seats recline, it's a little roomier compared to most airplanes its size. You like what other benefits other than the price point and things that are more obvious to people like me?
Well, they tout a 315-foot takeoff.
Wow. That's pretty short, isn't it?
That's pretty short. That's impressive.
That's like off-roading type of airplane stuff. So it is designed to be almost like a Cub type of aircraft.
They are touting it as for a backcountry,
right?
As well as training.
Yeah. So you can pretty much any adventure. They're saying that you could do it 475 feet to land it. So,
That's, what is a typical Cub? Do you have any idea how that would compare? I mean,
that would be about right for a Cub.
Yeah. 172. You would need how much for like a Cessna? You think?
172, depending on your. I would say probably average about 1,700 feet.
Wow. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So is that kind of the way the wing is that allows it to do that? I mean, it's a high-wing aircraft, but the way it's shaped, it does look more like a Cub, which is kind of a, I don't know, like it has a choppy end to it. You know what I mean? That makes sense?
It's got
like cut off.
It looks like it has a high lift without actually seeing it. It looks like it has a high lift producing wing on it.
Uh-huh. But having that extra flexibility with less takeoff necessary and landing strip necessary, it would be pretty useful airplane.
It could very well be, yes.
Mm-hmm. So
if it's really made for, let's say, our off-roading adventures.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it pretty rugged.
Well, it has those big old tires on it.
Right.
Yeah. They definitely have made it look a little bit more like a bush plane in that regard, for sure.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
Fun flying there.
Well, Ed, that's his dream airplane. And maybe this is like, this could be a stepping stone for him. I mean, because a new Cub is pretty freaking expensive, isn't it?
I don't think Ed would buy a new Cub. I think he wants the old one with no electrical system, you know, go go that route.
He wants to just go old school like that, but that's what he likes about it. I thought he just liked the way the plane was and how it looked.
Well, he likes that too.
Yeah. I mean, this thing, the paint job on it's pretty pretty unique. It's quite colorful.
It is, and it's unique in the fact that they've painted everything. They've used painted metal, so you don't have to paint the aircraft after you put it together.
So what? The paint never comes off either? How's that work exactly? What is the trick?
In a traditional airplane, when you're building it, you know, you get your metal comes from the factory with, you know, some sort of a primer coat or whatever, and you slap the airplane together and put all the rivets in, and then when you're done, it goes over to a paint shop.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get underneath and in the corners and put all the panels and everything back on. What they're doing to shave their costs down is they're taking the raw metal and painting it ahead of time. So now you just fasten the parts together. It's already got the coat of paint on it. We don't have to go back through and spend all those man hours. So that's part of how they're able to keep that cost down.
Hmm. Well, that sounds pretty smart to me.
It's turning the model around, changing how we used to do things and finding ways to cut costs, making it more affordable.
Yeah. Well, a plane like this with that kind of engine in it, Keith, I mean, you're limited to the light sport aircraft for this particular airplane, but could this get certified for something more substantial? What's holding them back? It's not the engine power, is it?
No, it's just simply, you know, what do they want to do with it? They're certifying it under the ASTM, which is the LSA, you know, guidelines. They would have to go through the Part 23 certification if they wanted to do something else.
Yeah, but isn't that all just paperwork and time?
And money.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that the plane wouldn't pass those testing
That's
at all.
Correct.
It's just time and money of them wanting to go through that whole process, which would limit how long it would take to get this airplane to market.
Correct.
So is it possible?
Look at the cost-benefit ratio there. You know, if we put in a four-year flight test program to validate that this thing meets Part 23 standards, we might be able to get 50-100 pounds more useful load in it, because that's, you know, over what the limit is. But if we now have to spread the cost of that certification program, I mean, how many millions of dollars are you looking at to tie up for 4 years to get through a training, you know, or through a certification regimen for that?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to add right to the bottom line to the cost of every single airplane.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I understand that, but I'm also wondering just the way this airplane is being set up and equipped under the light sport banner. Could you go another 100-200 pounds on this thing with the way it's going to equip?
1320 is the max.
Well,
so
I know,
that's
but
the U.S.
But that's a U.S.
Correct.
Limit.
Yes.
I'm just wondering about the airplane itself. What do you think this equipped size airplane could do if there was no legal limit to it, according to the FAA, for the light sport designation?
Oh, I'm sure it could do another 200 pounds.
Yeah. So just knowing
and it probably
that.
Will when they start selling them in Europe someplace.
Yeah. So just in time, it may get a weight variance, I guess, right? Possibly.
Not in the U.S. it won't.
Never?
Mm-mm.
They'll never say like 5 years.
Well, I'm not going to say never, but, you know, unless they change the rules regarding light sport, it won't.
Okay. Well,
or unless they got creative and, you know, try to get a waiver, you know, like Terrafugia or Icon have done that for safety reasons, you know, for Terrafugia to meet road legal and airplane, they needed to get an exemption for the light sport. And I think Icon was able to successfully petition to get an increase in gross weight to be able to include like the ballistic parachute and some other things into their airplane.
Right. But I'm just wondering, I mean, those are all somewhat arbitrary limits that the light sport designation puts on these airplanes. Am I right?
Correct.
So, you know, just knowing...
I hate saying that he's right, but, you know.
Thank you.
It's rare.
But knowing this, I mean, I would feel more comfortable to know, like, you know, sure, it's designated as light sport, but actually, you know, you could throw another couple hundred pounds in this thing, no problem, and you'd be flying pretty for days. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that a little extra headroom, kind of psychologically, knowing that your airplane could carry way more than what you're limited to?
Well, every Part 23 certificated airplane can carry more than what it's certified for.
Yeah, I would expect that, yes.
But
I think part of the certification rules, isn't it like, you know, it has to be able to demonstrate that it can fly with, you know, 50% of its above gross weight or something like that as part of the testing.
Right.
But you can't fly it at that rate.
Right.
You can't fly, but they want it to be able to do that because they know you're going to cheat?
No, but they need to be able to demonstrate that the airframe's strong enough to be able to handle the weights that are imposed on it, the in-flight loads, that it has an acceptable climb performance, things like that. It has to be able to demonstrate that it can handle outside of the normal envelope, because that's mm-hmm. how they define what the normal envelope is, then what's the max it can take off with.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if you're in flight and you start picking up ice, that adds a lot of weight to the airplane very, very rapidly.
Right.
So they need to know that it's going to carry that.
Got it. All right. So you got a plan.
Otherwise,
the...
you're gonna pick up ice and you're immediately going to fall out of the sky. What good does that do you?
If you've
taken off at your maximum gross weight.
Yeah, I don't think it does you much good at all. I think it does a lot of bad.
So that's why there's always a factor built in.
Yes, okay, understood. See, we're all learning stuff together here on Just Plain Radio today. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
And I'm flying so high, high off the ground when you're around.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis rounding out the crew today. All right, so this Ranger from Vashon Airlines, the manufacturer, I mean, I don't know, they're saying it could be a game changer on many levels. We've talked about many of the options on this airplane, the color scheme, the painted metal before they even assemble it, and I don't know, the way they're manufacturing this thing, they're able to keep it under $100,000 for a brand new airplane, which seems pretty impressive to me. Hearing all this stuff, Dennis, is it starting to make you think that, hey, my Mooney, which I'm hopefully going to have available to me to fly next week, I should have just bought a new airplane.
No, you see that the Vashon doesn't fit my need. I wanted an airplane that would have good cross-country performance, be comfortable, be well-equipped for IFR. What's the top speed on this thing? It's limited to 120, no more, because of light sport rules.
Oh, okay. So this basically
that's
would
my
be,
approach speed in the Mooney.
Okay, this would be a good second airplane for you.
This would be good to go knock around to the grass strips and go run out for a $100 hamburger somewhere. You know, great little airplane just to build time in, let my daughter solo, that type of thing. But the Mooney's better suited for 9-hour cross-country flights, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to put it through the ringer once this thing is complete. We got to thank Avadyne and Apario. They're working with Dennis on this whole retrofit of his Mooney 201, right? No, wait.
You got it right.
201. There you go. And I can't wait for you to give us the first report on how this all these new buttons and lights flash inside your airplane. It's going to look cool. Whether it works or not.
It is looking cool. I just had to go visit it again today, and they've got the panel coming together. The trays are in. We've got all of the gauges are put back. The indicators are in it. So it sounds like they should have everything buttoned up where they can actually power up the instruments for the first time in the morning. So
okay.
Well, we'll have there with my with bells on. Probably some donuts and coffee.
Okay, good. Well, I am a little confused, though, because at the commercial break, he was talking to Keith about getting a $100 hamburger. How can you do that if you don't have your plane available to you?
Well, that's what I needed to get a ruling on. Does it count as the $100 hamburger trip if you take a car to the airport?
No.
Ah.
No?
No.
I'm sitting on the flight line. I'm watching airplanes taking off. I'm watching skydivers landing. I'm having a hamburger. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't $100, was it?
No, that's true. It was significantly less.
If it was, gosh, that has to be the best hamburger on the plane, face of the planet. Come on.
But I did have to take a commercial airline flight to Orlando to get the rental car to drive to the airport. So,
Keith,
sort of.
What do the judges say?
No,
still doesn't count.
It doesn't count when you take an airliner.
It has to be your own airplane.
It has to be your own airplane or a rented airplane, something like that, yes.
Under the designation of an official $100 hamburger.
Yes.
Which really is more like $1.50, depending on where you're getting your fuel.
Unless you're flying in the Little Vachon, maybe that could keep costing.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, that plane's pretty fuel efficient, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it burns about 4.5-5 gallons an hour.
Okay. And your Mooney is like 6 or so? Is that what it was?
About 9, but it's the top speed on it's 155 knots versus maybe 95 knots.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's a little trade-off there for sure. But, I guess the $100 hamburger. I mean, you could lie and just say, how'd you get here? Oh, that car out in the park? No, that's not mine. My plane's out on the flight line. See that one?
There was a Mooney 201 right across from the table I was sitting at.
Yes.
Just a little older version.
Just before you go into the burger place, you have to have a backstory. Have your story straight with your co-pilot or,
otherwise,
person you drove
any
in the
old
car
grandma
with.
Off the street could go in there and say, hey, I just went in for a $100 hamburger.
That's how I ordered mine. I just said, what do you want? I'll take the $100 hamburger.
No, hold on.
And they knew exactly what I was looking
for. Did you not hear Keith right? You're supposed to sound like an old lady when you ask for it. Well, I like a $100 hamburger, sonny.
I'll try to sound like Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, okay. I think he was saying female. Were you?
Yeah, I can't pull that off. Voice is too low.
Yeah, right. If I could do it, you could do it.
Oh, boy. We just took a very awkward diversion.
Yes.
I guess we've settled that. Also, I heard you say that you got a tweet from Mean Dude about me and me getting back in the cockpit. Is that right,
Dennis?
Well,
I did. He was getting a little bit concerned about you making any progress towards getting your medical back. And,
why?
About Greg?
Well, you do realize that he's looking for the free aerial tour of Orlando.
That's his end game here. He only cares because he's got something in
the
game.
There's some skin in the game, which Greg needs to step up here. And so
he said,
if Greg does nothing to facilitate my aerial tour of Orlando, we will have to adjust his title from Greg, your co-pilot, to perhaps something like Greg, your flight attendant, or maybe Greg, the guy who cleans the lavatory.
Oh, that's not appropriate. I think the proper term is Greg, your stewardess, and Greg, your
flight attendant.
And Greg, your toilet cleaner. No? No, huh? Head. I don't know. Head of heads?
Oh, talk about Talk about taking a bad turn.
Hey.
Yeah.
No, I don't like either one of those either. No, I should go from Greg your co-pilot to Greg your pilot. Hello?
That would be much better.
Hi, I'm Greg your... that's hard to say. Hi, I'm Greg your pilot.
Yeah, it is hard to say, isn't it?
Hold on.
You can't.
Yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride. I don't know. Yeah, we'll work on it.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a whole lot smoother now that you got that first step out of the way. So
yes, one step in front of the other. That's all it takes.
But let's keep the momentum going.
We will. The next step, I got to call AOPA this next week and start getting my paperwork together. You know, I'll conference call them. And
we're
going
to hold you accountable to this now.
Well,
you
know,
we're all about accountability.
Right.
Trust me.
We need you to put something on your calendar. Invite us to that so we can see that you're actually doing it.
No, that will be a private conversation between me and my medical
professional. Well, that's fine, but we just want to know that it's on the schedule so we can follow up with you.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be on my schedule. I'll have a great story for you. On that note, we'll end it just in the nick of time. Remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.